From the Theater Talk studio at WBFO, this is Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, and I'm joined by Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata.
Hello, Mark.
Hi there. The March issue of Buffalo Spree explores home design.
Yes.
Readers get a peek inside five homes in our area, all of different styles. Now, there are some wonderful photographs accompanying the stories behind the homes. And I was intrigued by the cottage built a few years ago in Allentown. There are no available lots to build new homes there, so this 30-something man, who was never quite identified in the article, convinces his mother to build a small 800-square-foot multi-level cottage in her backyard. And believe me, the result is amazing.
It is. It's beautiful. His name is Eric, by the way.
Okay.
I know him. And I know whose father is, too. And, you know, it's in his backyard. And I love the house because we talk about Buffalo-style gardens. And this is definitely a Buffalo-style new build. And I also want to mention a name, Brad Wales, who is an architect who was involved and helped guide Eric on this project. And it's just got this beautiful little, you know, it uses some of the architectural forms of the sort of working men's cottages that we see throughout Allentown. It's very much a part of vernacular Allentown architecture. And I think that this cottage buys into that just a little bit, but also has a style all its own. And the other thing I think that's kind of definitely something that we like to do here in Buffalo is the reuse of so many discarded materials that otherwise might be filling landfills and all that gorgeous wood. So and other things, iron, you know, metal elements as well that have been salvaged. And so I think that's something that's really special about the home.
Indeed, the article mentions Buffalo Reuse was a source for some of the building material.
We have two reuse. We're very fortunate here because I have friends in other parts of the country, and when homes are demolished there, they just go to the landfill. There's nothing. No one comes, and I've heard, like, even if there's beautiful oak flooring, doesn't matter. It just all gets thrown out because that seems the easiest to them. Mm-hmm. Here in Buffalo, we have options. Not always. It doesn't happen all the time, but we have Reuse Action and Buffalo Reuse, and Habitat for Humanity has the Restore. So there's even more options.
Could this become a thing in urban neighborhoods, building small homes on available space?
You know, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Because this is his mom, remember?
Yeah.
Now, would you, if someone came along, and not that I have the space and that I didn't know and wanted to build a house in my backyard, I think I'd be reluctant.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think you would be too much.
I would. Unless it was so. For the kid.
Yeah. You know, yes, if your son came with his son and your daughter-in-law, yes, you'd have that up before they even arrived, probably.
By showcasing these five homes, all in different styles.
Very different.
Is this just another example of the diversity we celebrate in this region?
Absolutely. And this, we've done a lot of these home issues, but I can't remember one where the five featured homes were so different and in different parts of the region too, you know, from Amherst to East Aurora to Allentown, so all to Elmwood Village. So
yeah, so you'll need to check out Buffalo Spree for the others, as Elizabeth alluded to. One is a converted stable on Norwood Avenue, another a contemporary design hidden in the woods of East Aurora.
Oh yeah, by Fred Houston. That is a spectacular property.
Now, the timing of your issue coincides with the debate that took place in our community the past week or so over efforts to save an historic home on West Utica Street. A mere 2 weeks ago, no one was even aware of this home, but it became a cause for preservationists. And what was so special about this home on West Utica?
If you've seen pictures of it, of course, you have to see a picture because the home itself is gone now. It is very distinctive architectural style. We know that the architect built churches in the area, and I don't think anyone's paying attention to it because they didn't imagine that it was going to be demolished. I don't think too many people pay attention to my house, but if someone came along and wanted to tear it down, yes, there would be attention. So that's why there's attention now. And the other thing about this, as you probably know, Mark, is that preservationists, when they heard that there might be an attempt to demolish it, started going through the motions that are necessary to say this is an historic home. And part of that is getting a landmark status, which they did. They put it in application. In any case, although the preservation board certainly would have denied this demolition, it never even got to have the process that we expect with all demolitions. They ought to go before the preservation board. You know, sometimes the common council steps in. None of the steps that ought to have been followed were followed because this was a developer who had a big project, wanted it demolished, he got his way.
And you know, I suppose if I were to ask the developer, he would say, well, we need to get going with this project. We're on a timetable.
Yes.
But then again, this is an historic home. You know, what about waiting until the process plays out?
Well, actually, I've seen his argument. It was published in Buffalo Rising. His argument was that the plan is to put a number of townhomes, new townhomes there, and they need a certain number to make the money that they need. And his argument is we could have made even more money by putting a high-rise apartment building there. But we went with townhomes because that's something more in character with the neighborhood. So what he's saying is that they've already made concessions. I'm just repeating to you, it's interesting because I just read this today. And the other argument, too, is that townhomes and condos are the type of housing option that is not available in Buffalo too often. You see a lot of great older homes. You see apartments. You don't see too many condos and townhomes. So that's the other reason. But what bothers me about this is I'm not passing judgment on the development itself. What bothers me is that there should be due process. I don't think that the proper process was followed here.
Yeah, so you do have the argument from the developer, putting in housing in an area that is vibrant in Buffalo, and then the competing interest. You have an historic home, a stepped gable, stone and brick construction. Preservationist Tim Thielman said there aren't many homes like it in Buffalo, and now it's gone.
He's right.
So how do we deal with these competing interests?
The preservation laws have to be strengthened. The rulings of the preservation board are really recommendational. Most people don't know this. They think that what they say goes. That's not true. The common council can overturn their recommendations. So those rulings need to be set in stone. The preservation board needs to be given better power. We need to have more action before homes deteriorate. Absentee landlords should not be allowed to developers who are just waiting for, you know, to build something else should not be allowed to sit on properties as they deteriorate. There should be inspections. There should be real fines. Basically, and we should follow the processes that we have. So not only do new processes need to be put in place to strengthen what we have, we need to follow what we have, and we're not doing any of that.
Also in the March issue of Buffalo Spree, you write about the Topography of Women,
yes,
an ambitious project that advances the fight against human trafficking, a very serious subject. So what's this all about?
Well, it's really interesting. The producer, Celeste Lawson, came to me with this, and she has a lot of other Buffalo artists and writers involved, Dre Denour, the choreographer who's pictured in the story. And for some years, since maybe the 90s, Celeste has been interested. She went to a conference in China and learned a lot about human trafficking. And, of course, we do think of human trafficking as taking place in other parts of the
exactly.
world. Right. Yeah, not here. Well, but the fact is it is happening here. We do have slavery here. We do have women who, against their will, are being made to work as housemaids or far, far worse. And it's happening. It's happening throughout the U.S. So it
and even in Buffalo?
Yes. And so it took a while, but Celeste was able to pull together the funding, and it's going to benefit, I think it's called Mona's House, and which is a place that helps women who have suffered from human trafficking. And what this will be is an artwork, a performance, and all the women who are involved in it, who will be performing in it, have all undergone some sort of stressful events in their own life, but maybe not human trafficking per se, but other forms of abuse or stress in their lives. And, mm-hmm. and so they'll be able to bring that to their roles. And there's also going to be a panel discussion, and I believe there are two exhibitions One at SEPA Gallery and another at another gallery. And so it's all in the, we've got all the dates and everything is in the magazine. And it looks like a really important program, a really creative program, and really educational program that people need to see.
Well, that other gallery is right here at Buffalo Toronto Public Media.
I couldn't think of that.
In our Horizons Gallery. So
that's excellent. I'm so glad that Buffalo Toronto Public Media is involved in this.
All right. Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.